the verses on adding to your faith, right? You know those verses? Should we put them up there? Is there the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, I think we could start at verse 5. Or you could just look at your Bible. yeah, there it is, 2 Peter 1, 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Go to the next one, verse 6, to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. The next, godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. And for if these things are yours and abound, it says here abound, the idea is increasing, that they are increasing because you're adding something. These things are being added, and they are yours, and we are changing. Like we are, it's the there's some things that are not changing. We mentioned this early too. We are not becoming more righteous. We are righteous. Like this is a miracle. Like we actually have God's very righteousness in 2 Corinthians 5:21. We are not becoming more righteous. We are righteous. We couldn't become more righteous than we are, because the righteousness that we have is not, as Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 9, is not a comparative human righteousness where we're looking and saying, like, I don't think I'm as righteous as him, but I don't think I'm as righteous as him, but I'm definitely better than, sorry. There's always one guy that I just pick on. I don't know. I don't do it on purpose. Maybe. No, I'm just, what? Okay, all right. I'm feeling very repentant right now. But it's not that kind of righteousness. The kind of righteousness that we have is not that kind where we're looking and comparing, but actually it's a perfect righteousness and this is the reason why we don't compare, and we're not really even looking at people to figure out what's wrong with them. Like one of the stops that we made on in a visit this year was a relative, and I did something. I don't even remember what I did. And I said, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And my relative said, yeah, that's one of your faults. And I thought, like, you know, like, are you keeping a list? I could tell you some more probably that you don't even know. But thank God we're not doing that. We're not doing that with ourselves or with other people. But God actually is. We have the righteousness, but He is adding those things that we just read as we simply persevere, as we simply don't quit, as we simply just keep on coming and just say, like, wow, this is, you know, God, I don't know, like, I'm just going to go. I'm going to keep on reading my Bible. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on doing VBS, which in 1966, when I was 10 years old, I got saved at a vacation Bible school. Vacation Bible school, and I'm 10 years old, and the pastor at the end of the week said, you know, that group of us, like, 9 and 10-year-old boys together, or 10 to 12-year-old boys, I don't remember. And he said, like, you know, he gave us the gospel, and it was very clear to me that I needed Jesus Christ. And so he said, okay, you know, like, pray if you want to receive Christ. And so he led us in a prayer, and then he said, okay, if you prayed to receive Christ, raise your hand. And, you know, all little boys are always looking around. And, you know, but I raised my hand, but at the same time, then I started looking around, and I'm going, like, I'm the only one with his hand raised. But I said, like, and you know, like, when you see you're the only one, the hand starts to come down. But then I went, like, no, I need this. I knew. And so thank God for vacation Bible school. And we just, again, you know, these things that we do, we just keep doing and coming and listening and opening. And God keeps adding to us. And so I wanted to say then, I want to go to the book of Jonah and look at a man. We mentioned in the early service about Abraham and how Abraham grew in faith. And Abraham, Abraham became so strong in his faith that he could even sacrifice Isaac, that he could take his son up the mountain because God told him to do it. And he became so strong. But you read chapters 12 to 22 to see the progression and how God kept visiting him. Wow, God kept visiting him. Isn't it wonderful that God visits us? I mean, we love it when when people visit. You know, someone comes and visits us in Argentina. Well, you can't get in right now, but but we're praying. By the way, pray for that with us, that the borders will open. Because I got like four or five guys in Baltimore that are ready to buy their tickets and come down and be with us, but they can't get in. Maybe we should sneak them in. I don't know. Talk to me afterwards if you have any ideas. Jonah. If there's a character in the Bible that probably, you know, different people identify with different characters in the Bible, probably not too many people identify with Jonah. Because what's the when I say the word or the name Jonah, what do you think about? Come on. The big fish, the whale. Jonah. Oh, the whale. I mean, it's actually just one verse in the book, four chapters. You know, I don't know how many verses exactly, but it's just one verse. But everybody, Jonah. Oh yeah, the whale or the fish or whatever. You know, that swallowed him. What I want to say is we are probably a lot, unfortunately, but also in a good way, much more like Jonah than we think. Because Jonah, you know, I was a young believer and I was reading the book of Jonah many times, I would always wonder, what in the world is chapter 4 doing in this book? Because, you know, chapter 3 ends with everybody gets saved. Jonah preaches and everybody gets saved. I mean, you know, come on. Like, and they all lived happily ever after and, you know, end of the story. But no, there's a chapter 4. And chapter 4, we're going to read it, or a few verses anyways. So God, at the end of chapter 3, that they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he didn't do it. Chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Wow. It's sort of like what Pastor Scott mentioned about, like, the disciples were saying, you know, like, hey, the children shouldn't come, but it displeased God, displeased Jesus that they said that. Here, people are getting mercy. People are getting mercy, but in chapter 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Jonah didn't like it, and he got angry. And there's two times here that this one statement happens in these verses. Go to the next verse there. He became angry, so he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh, wasn't this what I said when I was still in my country? That's why I fled to Tarshish, and I know that you are gracious." He's complaining. It's so funny, actually. You know, he's complaining. God, you're so stinking gracious. You know, like, and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents from doing harm. Verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Verse 4. Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Okay. What do you think? What's the answer? You know what? I think Jonah knows that the answer to this question is no. What does he say? Go to verse 5. Nothing. He doesn't even answer the question, does he? It says, Jonah went out of the city and sat. God said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Have you ever had this happen? You know, like somebody, it could be a, you know, maybe to a relative, your parents, or your parents to the child, and the parent says, "Are you right to be angry?" And you know it's not, but you don't answer. You just like, you know, I'm out of here. And you go. And that's what Jonah did. He just left. He said, okay, God asked the question, is it right for you to be angry? Because he was angry. And God says, is it right for you to be angry? By the way, is it ever right to be angry? Sometimes. Was Jesus ever angry? Yes, he was. Does God have wrath? Yes, he does. God asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? And Jonah's like, I'm out of here. All right, so now, because he knows it's not. Next verse. Okay, so Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city. He made himself a shelter, sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. Verse 6. Okay, thank you. And the Lord God prepared a plant. You know the story, right? I mean, it's hilarious. God is a planner. I just love it that God has a plan. God is a planner. God is like, because here's the thing. Why was Jonah angry the first time? He was angry because people got mercy and he didn't want them to get mercy. Has somebody ever done you wrong and then they got off the hook and you didn't like it? That's Jonah. We could be like Jonah. I could be like Jonah sometimes. Somebody gets grace and mercy, and I'm like, I remember one time when I was a youth leader in another city. And everybody just spoke so well of him all the time. He's like, everybody always say like, "Oh, he's amazing. He's awesome. He's terrific." And one time, we were somewhere, and someone was saying to his wife, you know, like, "Oh, he's amazing." And she, I think she had heard it for so long that my husband is amazing, and so it was. It was at a church event, and you know, and somebody said, like, "Oh, your husband is amazing," and she lost it and like basically started telling everybody different things. We have this. Jonah could be in here. Like, I don't like it that he's getting treated this way. Jonah didn't like it. But so God says, okay, I have a plan. What's my plan? The people of Nineveh are already saved. The people of Nineveh, they're already saved. The end of the story. No, it's not the end of the story. Jonah has to have something added to him. That's what I want to say. Like us. We're like Jonah. We could be wrong. We could be so wrong. But we all it is then God is saying, like, okay, it's all right. That's not the end. It's not the end. It doesn't end with the miserable Jonah. I mean, we actually don't see what really happens, but it's the most likely thing is that Jonah wrote the book. You know? So God prepares a plant. Why did God prepare a plant? The plant comes up and covers him. And Jonah actually said, I love this plant. I love this plant. This plant is like, this is grace. I love this plant. This plant is my, look, this is amazing. It just came up over me and it grew. I didn't cause it. It's amazing. It's fantastic. I love this plant. But then God says, okay. I say, now you love the plant. What's the next thing that God prepared? The next verse. God prepared a worm. Okay. God prepared a worm. The devil. Listen. The plant, in God's illustration, the plant is the people of Nineveh. Or you and me, the plant is the people. God loves the people. God loves the world, for God so loved the world. Your neighbors, your relatives, the ones that are complete idiots. I mean, even more than us, right? But God loves them, and God so loves the world. But there's a worm. There's a worm. It's the devil, you know. It's the devil. The devil is destroying people's lives, isn't he? The devil's a liar. The devil destroys. The devil is like, you know, like, where do you think all of the ridiculous stuff that's in our society is coming from? It's the worm. It's the devil. You know. And so the worm ate the plant, and the plant died. Verse 8. And it happened, then the sun came up, and God prepared an east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, and he grew faint, and he wished for dead. And it's better for me to die than to live. Verse 9. And God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Remember the other verse? Like, God said, is it right for you to be angry? And Jonah's like, but what does Jonah say this time? Jonah says, yes, it is right for me to be angry. I'm so angry. Why? But it's different. It's a different anger this time. Listen, it's a different anger. Why is he angry this time? The plant. It's the plant. I love this plant. And the worm. I'm angry at the worm. The worm ate the plant. I'm angry. Not because the sun's on my head, but the worm ate the plant. And next verse. You know, because he said, yes, I'm right. And you know what? God didn't contradict him. God didn't contradict him. God didn't say, no, you're not right. I think God is not interested in telling Jonah that he's wrong about being angry. God is saying, look, you want to know how I feel? This is a plant. This is not even people. This is just a little green thing that grows up, and you know, but you're angry because the worm ate the plant. How do you think I feel when I look at these people? That's what God says. You have had pity on the plant. You didn't make it. grow. You didn't labor. It came up in a night and perished in a night, verse 11. And should I not pity Nineveh? Right? Should I not pity the people? Shouldn't I have mercy? Because remember, the first time Jonah was angry because there was mercy. And God is saying, like, now you got, I gave you the second time. I prepared this whole scenario. Like, the people of Nineveh already repented, but now I'm dealing with you, Jonah. I'm talking to you, and I'm saying, like, you have in your heart still, like, a little bit of legalism, and you don't want mercy. And God says, but I want you to see how I feel. This is what God, I think, adds to us. He makes us one of the words in that list of things of how of us growing in 2 Peter chapter 1 is godliness. That's one of the words that we grow. And godliness is like just thinking like God thinks. And we could very easily like not be thinking like God thinks. But when we're not thinking like God thinks, then God says, I didn't want Jonah just because I could have sent anybody to preach. I sent Jonah to preach because I also love Jonah. I don't love Jonah just for what he can do for me. I love him because, and I want him to be godly. I want to add something to you. And I think that Jonah, that's what I think he wrote the book, and I think he got it. At the end, I think it was added to him. I think he has something. He had it, and he has it, and we can have it too. Like, it can be added to us. God is just adding something, and we say, like, oh, I see what you're saying. Wow, I am angry, but I'm angry because of a plant. And you are looking at what the devil, you know, like, it's so easy for us to look at people and, you know, and actually, like, not be gracious. But if we look to God, and we see God's looking at these people, and he looks at the worm, and the worm is the devil, and the worm is destructive, and God sees what the worm has done, and he sees the eyes being blinded of the people, and he said, I prepared hell for the devil, for the worm. I prepared hell for the worm. I hate the worm. But I didn't prepare. I didn't want. It was like what someone would choose that they would go. It's not my will. I don't want it. I want you. I want us. That's what he's. I believe that he's adding that to us. This godliness. This seeing the reality of people being blinded and deceived by the worm and angry at the worm and love, but loving mercy and grace for those people and being willing to talk to them and being willing to go to them and to say, like we have. The answer is Jesus Christ. He loves you. Okay, so that's our message. It's just God adding his way of looking at people and the devil. And he adds it to us. I think we get it like Jonah did in Jesus' name.
Yeah, be angry and sin not. Be angry at what God gets angry, not over, you know, what our old sin nature would be angry over. That's all wrong. But good words, good words. I will close with a prayer. And Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Father, bless Pastor Stan and Karen the rest of their journey here in America, and then as they return back to Argentina. Father, thank you for bringing them here to us. Father, help us to retain the words that we've heard here. Lord, help us to learn of you. Lord, continue to grow in your grace, our capacity to receive your grace, Lord, and to receive it, Lord, not in vain, but Lord, let your grace work in us. Father, that your Spirit would be able to add to us the things that we've read here today, Lord, all of your nature and all of your character, so that we would keep on growing, Lord, so that we would be not only pleasing to you, Lord, but that we would be a blessing to others, Lord, here in the local assembly and beyond, Father, wherever you send us. If you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, you can do that now in a simple prayer of faith. This is really where it all begins. Our journey to the door could be long or it could be short, but we must enter by the door by the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be born again. And if you've never entered through that door, now could be your time. You could pray with me in your own heart if you believe that he died for the sins of all the world and yours in particular, and rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father, then you can receive him as your Savior. And I would encourage you to pray with me now. If you haven't done this already, do it now. Pray, dear Jesus, thank you for paying for all of my sins with your blood on your cross. I do receive you as my Savior by faith right now. Please come and live within me through your Holy Spirit. Please give me the gift of everlasting life and make me a child of God. Amen. If you're praying that for the very first time and you're here with us, I'll be at the door for a few minutes at the end of the service. I would love to know that. I would love to put a New Testament in your hands if you don't have one already. If you're watching us on the internet this morning and you're praying to receive Christ, contact us either by our email, through our website, or call on the phone number, and we'd be glad to send you a New Testament. That'll be our gift to you. Every believer should have a Bible and start with the New Testament. And glad you could be with us. You know you're welcome. And some of us will be in the park later on today in Congress Park up in Saratoga. And even into the evening for some, maybe a picnic or for some bocce. How many have ever played bocce? Bocce is like, I like bocce because I can play it with my grandchildren. My children and my grandchildren, three generations, can all play bocce together. And There might be some other lawn games that might show up as well. But.
All right, so announcements. So in your bulletin today, if you didn't get a bulletin, I want to encourage you, grab a bulletin. There's always, like, so much chaos. No, not chaos. Craziness. No, not craziness. There's always so much fun going on. Let's use fun. Fun is good. That, you know, we can't always announce everything or get to the nitty-gritty details. So the bulletin tries to put a paragraph with times and dates, a little more information than we may hit up here. But there's an insert. The Larkins, Anna Larkin, if you haven't ever heard her sing, she has such a young, beautiful voice. They're going to do a concert coffee house here. If the weather is nice, they're contemplating the courtyard. If the weather's not so nice, they'll be in the chapel. They'll have halftime with desserts, and they're going to have the Russos are going to be helping them out. The Kurowskis are going to be helping them out, and it's going to be a fundraiser to send kids to Camp Life. All right, so the information's here. Saturday, August 7th, 7 p.m. You can ask Kelly if you have any questions about that. All right, so Pastor did a lot of the announcements in the beginning. So I'll just kind of touch on these really quickly. So anything that was kind of temporarily paused due to VBS, because we take over everything on the campus. Everything's back going again. So Monday night prayer, 7 p.m. is on. They had one. They just were in the pastor's office last week. Wednesday afternoon Bible study at 2, Wednesday night service at 7. This coming Wednesday is a very special one. We're going to do a potluck dinner at 5. If you're interested, see Steve Rollis. It's going to kind of be the going away dinner for the Handles heading to the mission field. Potluck, 5 o'clock. Steve Rollis will be running that. It'll be kind of like a potluck Sunday. We're going to set up the kitchen, and we're going to set up the big classroom. So if you're available, just reach out to Steve. Thursday, Women's Interactive Bible Study. That's at 5:30. Next Sunday, we have two things going on for Camp Life. Kelly's going to do like a pancake breakfast after each service. And the proceeds to that go to sponsor kids who are in need to get to Camp Life, who don't have the funds, and the families that are sending kids. So that is next Sunday, August 1st. We'll do a pancake breakfast after each service. So after 10, after 9, so around 10, and then after the second service. And then around 1, this is 12:45, we'll see, but we'll have anybody going to Camp Life, we're going to do a meeting in the big classroom. And then August 14th is Nature of the Name concert with our sister church out at Sagandaga Bible. And Camp Life is August 16th to 22nd. And then we do have a door offering today. It is specifically going for missions and the Handles. Anything else? And Congress Park, anybody going, raise your hand. How many planning? They'll just show up around 3. Outreach, Carmen, anybody else? And some yard games. All right. And with that, we are dismissed. Thank you. God bless.